Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? So I am making sure that we go into our second live. And again, Facebook is keeping up problems and issues, and I'll address this with DevOps. And then I'll also be doing a lawsuit. So I told you guys that that's been going on for quite a bit, and I've addressed Facebook with their failures to do anything about all their issues and problems that they keep up. So it is clear that Facebook is the problem. So I am also dealing with IT hack at the same exact time and dealing with cable company divisive antics and buffoonery. So I told you guys that I'm not going through this anymore. And we're going to talk about how to avoid dating a jerk, online dating, and dumping a jerk, and even divorcing a prick. So we're going to talk about how to date online safely and avoid dealing with narcs, dating a narc, or marrying a narc, or even dating a complicit, nasty, out-of-order, trifling, disgusting sociopath, or a pathological abuser, emotional abuser, tormentor, gaslighter, provoker, prankster, or a sociopath, or a stan. And when I tell you about a stan is somebody who's obsessed, someone who continues to provoke and gaslight, even if you don't want them or you made it clear that they're a creep or they're a disgusting person that makes your skin crawl. And when I tell you, it's like C-SPAN on Facebook. You know, when you have people who are upset with you, it's like, Laura, that type of person who's obsessed with you, that type of pathological narc that makes you kind of sick and makes you want to throw up, those type of freaks that don't leave you alone, they're like, Laura, oh my Laura, that type of freak. Those type of men are not safe. They're not emotionally safe, and they're obsessed, and they're the type of people that I don't recommend you going to online dating because they present as normal people, but they're pathological stalkers, fatal attraction, fatal battles type of people who will cause you levels and layers of discomfort, and they'll continue to stalk you. It's kind of like Steve Urkel. I'm wearing you down. And when you continue to tell them that their stalking behavior, their gaslighting behavior, their stan-like behavior, their fatal attraction behavior is unhealthy and it's pathologically insidious and disgusting and creepy. So when we talk about dating online, we can talk about how safely to date online, and we can talk about the unsafeness online of dealing with a narc or a sociopath or a pathological abuser, or when you actually marry someone and they change and they become a stan. Oh, Laura, don't leave me, Laura. Laura, don't leave me, Ty. One of those psychopaths who will sit there and abuse you because you no longer want to be with them because they've shown you red flags or shown you that they're a pathological, fatal attraction, fatal vows, fatal obsession type of person, a creep, a jerk. So when we talk about dating, there's two sides to dating. The epic levels of dating that are leaving psychological scars, emotional scars from dealing with a stan, or the type of dating where you can healthily date, have good date experiences, and deal with someone who actually can be a decent person towards you and not be upset if you say, this is not working out, I don't want to be with you. Or if you're married to the person, if you say, it's not working out, I don't want to be with you, or you won't end up dead. So I wanted to do this live second rendition of this to test the integrity of Facebook. So not only are they a failure to thrive, but they're a failure to do right when it's been reported multiple times. So I'll address those gaslighting, provoking antics with Facebook, and I'll be taken into court subsequently. I told you in the last live what this about. Wealthy, well-connected narcs who think they're above the law, including Mark Zuckerberg. And when I tell you that I'm tired of him, I don't like him, and I will never like that miserable Silicon Valley prick. He's despicable, a failure as a leader and a manager, and he has failed to intervene when I've reported these issues multiple times that have affected my business. So let's go over that before we go into the actual presentation. Dating can affect your professional life. Dating can affect your personal life and your marital life. Dating can become deadly, antic-ridden, pathologically abusive, and leave psychological, emotional scars, especially if you're dealing with someone who presented as Prince Charming in the beginning and becomes a narcissistic prick, a jerk, something that you need to not date. And when we map out the keys that we're going to talk about today, about dating success, the pros and cons, making them work for you, and then on top of that, finding the right person to date and the right site to date, and profile pictures and the true story and the true life. And we're talking about what people are looking for in dating. That's what this whole thing is about. But I'll lead up to you why I don't recommend online dating personally. Online dating has done nothing but be destructive for me. Online dating has been nothing but a personal level of detriment to business branding, rebranding, and re-rollout. Online dating has done nothing but cause me nothing but misery, loss, financial, economic, and then on top of that, emotional. Online dating shouldn't result in a person having to seek a therapist from dealing with levels of violence, intimate partner violence, post-separation abuse, financial abuse, economic abuse, financial course control, and levels of narcissistic foolery that I've had to deal with in dating. I would not recommend online dating unless that dating site actually provides you a background check and a whole entire psychosocial eval. Here's the reason why. I ended up dating several men back-to-back who had nothing but intent and a personal agenda in dating me and had their own personal reasons. They did not really like me. They didn't really care for me, and they did everything to punish after I stopped dating them. And this is why I'm telling you tips and tricks on how to date successfully and how to dump a narcissistic jerk or a stan. Somebody who's unhealthy and pathologically stalks, provokes, and gaslights you for fun and thinks it's funny to do to you when you say, I don't want to date you. And then they turn into, Laura, oh my Laura, oh my Laura. A whole whiny, Steve Urkel, sociopath, pathological jerk, and a narcissist who can't stand no, or I don't want to date you, or I don't want to be married to you. That's what I had to deal with in online dating. And when you have acquaintances like that, it will scar you and make you never want to online date again. So I'm teaching you tips and tricks on how to navigate the dating world, because I did the dating world and it was an epic failure and disaster. But I took the lessons and the tips and tricks on how to better date and how to better guide and direct people to date successfully, safely, and do the things that are required of you to make sure you do your due diligence and do a background check and get a psychosocial eval on the person that you're dating. And if that dating site is like Tinder, Tag, or anything like that, or like Facebook or anything like that, I wouldn't recommend it, because most people lie and sit there and give you the best version of themselves until you date them 6 to 7 months down the road, a whole year down the road, 3 years down the road, and show you who they really are, a narcissistic, psychopathic jerk, and a stan or unhealthy narcissistic prick. And I hate to tell you guys that. That is the luck of the draw, and you're playing Russian roulette in dating online. I really hate to tell you guys that. That's why I have don'tdatehimorher.com. And that is for me to be able to do background checks for you guys and also to be able to do certain things to help you guys do skip traces and things like that, to be able to find out about the person that you're dating. Because dating a person like that will have you around here in a therapist's office, psychiatrist's office, MSW, LSW's office, or MD's office, seeking therapy for CPTSD from dealing with a narcissistic jerk, a stan, a Laura, oh my Laura, don't leave me, Laura, type of psychiatrist. Then you'll end up in a life coach office, a wellness coach office, health coach office, a divorce coach office, or relationship coach office, because you're dealing with levels of PTSD and trauma from a psychopathic prick. A wealthy, well-connected prick, or a poor, Joe's turkey prick. It doesn't matter if they have money or not. Those type of people pathologically abuse, insidiously abuse, emotionally abuse, torment, and gaslight when you tell them no. Or when you tell them that you have boundaries, or you tell them that what they've done has crossed the line, I no longer want to date you because you're mentally unsafe, emotionally unsafe, and a psychopath or a sociopath or borderline undiagnosed. So when we talk about these things in online dating, these are the things we have to have a conversation about. Because in the modules that we'll go over is the mapping out online dating success. And then on top of that, the pros and cons, making it work for you, online dating. And then on top of that, finding the right site to go to. And then on top of that, profile pictures and being a true story and not a catfish, or being someone who presents as something that they're not. Then you find out years down the line, months down the line, the person that you're dating is a whole pathological serial killer, emotional tormentor, batterer, gaslighter, provoker, IT hacker, provoker, gaslighter, cable company tampering, router hacking, Wi-Fi hacking, car tampering, GPS putting underneath your car type of sociopath that I've dealt with. So when we're talking about that, that is why I caution everybody, and it's a cautionary tale about online dating. Unless that dating site is built correctly and with the proper tools to be able to go and find out if the person's a whole dating psychopath, whole married to another person, or pathologically abuser, or if they're a known person, you should be documented as a domestic terrorist, intimate partner violence terrorist, the things that should have been done for me to be protected against these type of people. This is why I have don'tdatehimorher.com and cyberbullyingsuch.com for children, because children and adolescents date, and that can happen to them as well. So when we're talking about this, about mapping out online dating success, and we're talking about levels and layers, online dating is something that anyone can do. But successfully doing it to the point that anyone can do something that is successful if they apply the right tools. So when we talk about this in the right manner, and what I mean by that, applying the right tools in the right manner, let's think about building a business. When you build a business, you do the things that I did. You get the EIN, you do all the other different things, X, Y, Z, through course, through course, that you're supposed to do to establish your business and have licensure. But if you want to be successful at your business, you have to work at it with from the beginning, nourishing it throughout the level, and it's hard at moments, and then you have to know where you miss your mark and when you miss your target. So there's the same thing with online dating and dating success. In online dating, if you would like to be successful, you have to think about you need to start off right, build your profile in a right manner, and then secure the final and lasting rewards out there. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. But the risk of online dating should not outweigh the reward. If the only reward is you getting your freedom and getting a restraining order or seeing a therapist, psychiatrist, or psychologist, that risk is too high. So when I tell you if you have a risk of going on there and picking the wrong person, get a dating website that can help you pick and help do psychosocial evals and evaluations and also background checks. It might be costlier, but the thing is, it's better than dealing with a tag. It's better than dealing with blackmailing. It's better than dealing with Facebook dating. It's better than dealing with anything online that may potentially not have you paired up with the right person. Because a lot of times I would recommend most dating websites that have a psychosocial eval for someone to make sure you're not dealing with a narcissist. And then on top of that, a psychiatrist can review the results and tell you exactly how this person really is. Because a lot of people are pathological abusers, tormentors, provokers, gaslighters, narcissists, and they lurk on dating websites. And they will find people who they consider weak or the lesser or someone that they can do and use. So with that being said, let me get a call drop, you guys. With that being said, in online dating, those are the risks. Well, when you think about a profile in the right manner and securing the final and lasting rewards out there, you have to think about you may not realize that there are pretty good tips and tricks out there, and I'm here to give the tips and tricks. I want you guys to hear everything that can help you be successful at online dating and not end up in a disaster like I ended up multiple times. And as an entrepreneur, online dating can actually affect your business because when a person realizes that stop, no, and don't, and they realize that you have boundaries, they will punish you if you decide, I don't want to be with you. And then they start that, Laura, oh, Laura, oh, my Laura, that kind of Steve Urkel craziness, that Sam kind of stuff. The creepy stuff don't make you run fast. So with this, I want to give you guys tips and tricks and offer you a help and guiding, a guiding light on how to be able to go and keep from avoiding to be in my office, a wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, marital counselor, and then on top of that, a level of relationship coach or business coach, and you having to rebuild after you're dealing with a narcissist or a sociopath from meeting them online and not knowing who they are. It's bad enough when you date face-to-face, right? Dating face-to-face, great. Wonderful. You can see that and you get the same result. So neither one is mutually exclusive to potentially finding a good mate. We're all out there in that fishing pond, and we're all out there fishing for the right person, correct? So when we think about online dating, we think about you may not realize there are pretty good tips and tricks out there, like I said, I would give you, but you also need a success tool and success formula to successfully online date and hopefully get better results than 50-50, maybe get 75-25, maybe 25% of the dating pool sucks, but the 75% is good and not a narcissist and a sociopath that can damage your life or damage your business image or things like that. So I want you guys to understand that I'm offering you guys these tips and tricks so that before we can get you on online dating, you'll understand the mastery of it and the abundance of love. So when we think about this, what are your goals when you're first dating? First thing you need to do is make goals. What would you include in these goals in your goals today? Good question. You'll say to yourself with these questions that I'm going to give you, what am I looking to achieve during my online dating experience? What am I hoping will be the method that I do that, and what method is best for me in finding a successful life partner, life mate, or a marital situation, if that's what you're looking for? Who am I looking for specifically? What am I willing to do to make that happen? Can I dedicate some time to make it come together? When you ask yourself these questions, it lets you know whether you're ready to get out there and date, first of all. And then I'm going to give you guys another tip and trick, and I think this is pretty cool. Are you ready to date? ask yourself this. Talk about this, which is important before you go to dating. And these are warning signs if you're not ready to date. The important warning signs before you go to dating websites and get out there and start dating. If you're not ready to date, the four warning signs are if your friends, coworkers, and family are trying to push you to date someone new since your last relationship, and if your last relationship was a disaster, you need to ask yourself these four warning signs. So an indicator for you not to go online dating yet. A new relationship can take a toll on your body and your mind. And if you're already depleted from the last relationship or last sets of relationships and burnt out on that, it's important for you to go at your own pace. It's important for you to have peace of mind and evaluate your readiness and assess if you're capable of even entertaining one online dating, face-to-face dating, speed dating, or anything else of matchmaking. And your ability to handle dating again in the capacity mentally, healthily, and then on top of that, not be reminded of the person you last dated. And you don't have to jump into the dating pool if you're not prepared or you're not ready. So I want you guys to consider these signs that you're not ready to form a new romantic relationship if you're trying to get out there and talk about going on to online dating or speed dating or any matchmaking or blind dates. So when you think about this, if you're not over your ex, some of us are over our ex. I'm one of them. I don't love any one of them. I don't want any one of them back. I don't want a relationship with them. I'm done. I have absolutely epically lost a lot behind them. I would never want to date them again. I wouldn't even consider marrying any of them because they are not up to my standards and they push the boundaries, and I would never date you again if you won the lottery. Because once you do something to someone in the manner of altering their mindset, their relationship views on relationship, or their outlook on love and dating, you are not the person that I would want to date again, and I wouldn't even give you a second chance. Because a lot of people do what we call hoovering, and they keep going back to someone. So never go back to your ex, or if you're still thinking about your ex in the manner of wanting to redate them, you're not ready to date. So when you think about this, do you still dwell on your past relationship and can't stop thinking of your ex outside the narrative of being provoked and gaslit, post-separation abuse by your ex, IT hack, provoking, gaslighting, economic abuse, damages to business, or damages to your work and workplace environment, or workplace and harassment because of your ex, and that subsequently a level of post-separation abuse, emotional abuse, and coercive control, meaning that's aggravated stalking, harassment, and provoking and gaslighting, resulting in reactive abuse syndrome and aversion, and when you think about it, it ruminates you back to that ex. So if your mind is preoccupied with thoughts about your previous partner, then you're not ready to date again, or if you're being damaged by your partner subsequently and you're already trying to date again or you're trying to get back out there, but your ex is disturbing your quality of dating life or your peace in dating or your environment of dating or your dating pool is slim pickings due to your ex smear campaign, things like that, then you have to think about that. You may not be ready to date because it's not safe today. The inability to concentrate on a new person can negatively affect your date and hurt your reputation because if the date has been damaged by multiple times of provoking, pranks, gaslighting, emotional abuse, torment, stalking, aggravated harassment, then you're not ready to date, not because of you. You're not ready to date because your ex is creating a level of detriment and your date's going along successfully, safely, for you to get to know that person without the ex painting your mind or ruminating about the things that they're doing because it's triggering upset. So now you understand the difference between not being ready to date because of yourself or not being ready to date because of others creating an unsafe environment or a toxic dating environment or a toxic dating pool to pull from. And that can adversely affect your reputation because that person is determined to make your life a living hell while you're moving on and dating somebody new. So therefore, people get the reputation, she's got a crazy ex, don't date him. He's crazy. He's nuts. And vice versa with women who stalk men. I don't like any type of stalking. I'm too lazy, first of all, to stalk. Three, I'm the best ex you can ever have. If you say lose my number, if you say don't come by my house, I ain't coming by your house. If I pack up my stuff and move out your house, I ain't coming by. So we're talking about levels of healthy dating, being able to take rejection and somebody saying, I don't want to date you, I don't like you anymore, or lose my number. I'm that ex who will say, okay, you know what, I'm out. I'm out. I'm like, Martin, I'm out. I'm out. See you. Because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with trying to convince you that I'm good for you. I don't want to convince you that you need me. If I have to sell you myself, like I'm a car, and you feel like you're getting a lemon, then I'm not going to sell you on myself. I'll move on to the next person because I know what being able to take rejection is. And being rejected or giving the rejection, I'm good at that. I'm good at saying, you know what, sir, me and you are not compatible. Your mental health capacity and my mental health capacity, my mental health is up here. You're down here. You're not mentally healthy, and you're sadistic, cerebral, somatic narc, and I don't like your toxic behavior or your passive aggressiveness or your toxic ways that you treat women. So therefore, sir, you and I are not compatible, not in the least. And I'm okay with telling somebody that. But when you're getting into a narcissistic dating situation or a provoking gaslighting situation or a detrimental, deadly situation, 8 tiers, a homicide situation, or potential for Laura, if I can't have you, nobody else can have that type of relationship, that is deadly. It's a red flag. It's an indicator that you have to get law enforcement involved. And once you have to get to that point, that type of online dating is not safe. That type of offline dating is not safe. And it's one and the same, not mutually exclusive. If you find yourself constantly comparing your new date to an ex as interfering with your happiness, this is another sign that you need to wait. So when you think about this, the emotional baggage of your past relationship can hurt or harm your relationship and your dating style or your ideal dating situation or environment. It can prevent you from noticing the positive aspects of a new partner. And if you've gone through levels of detrimental dating online, offline, and dating someone who has either duped you or did what we call Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or Mrs. Jekyll, Mrs. Hyde, and then you turn around and realize the person's nutty or the scroll turds, then you're sitting up there in a therapist's office, a psychiatrist's office, an MSW, LSW's office, or you're sitting up there with a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach with intermittent gaps when you're dealing with going to a psychiatrist or therapist from dealing with a dating situation that is either one, deadly, detrimental to your mental health, emotional health, or your sense of safety, then you have to look at it like that. Is it worth it? So when we talk about emotional baggage from those relationships, all that has to be off of you before you go out there dating. Why do you think I took the time to heal? I took the time to avoid online dating and also regular dating because I wanted to heal. I wanted to heal in the sense of I don't remind every man about the guys that I dated, and I don't have to talk about them, and I don't want to. I want to get to a point that I don't even ruminate and think about the flashbacks of the things that they did. So that's what we call emotional baggage. So as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, relationship coach, dating coach, and things like that, when I give you these tips and tricks, it's to help you get back out there, but safely understand how to get back out there and heart find love. So it can prevent you from ever seeing anything potential good in anybody else. It can actually spoil a actual potential of an acquaintance, somebody that might be a safe person, but everybody seems like the enemy when you're dating again. So therefore, if there's one warning sign, you'll be like, ding, 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 warning, woo, woo, red alert, I'm out. Because at that point, you have received so many signals of fight, flight, freeze, constant epic levels of conundrum, a cluster flurful is what I like to call it, of BS. So when you get back out there dating and you're prematurely going out there, then you will end up in the same cycle, picking the same type, and you will not have done what they call inventory, the psychological inventory. Am I ready today? Have I healed enough to where I can safely date without ruminating? Can I safely date without the extra baggage? Can I actually move on to someone and civilly have a good date, have a good time, and not be triggered emotionally at a date? And then be emotionally ready to move on, like I am. There is a point where you no longer want to think about the partner, whether they're doing any prostration or provoking and gaslighting, or that stand, Laura, if you can't be with me, nobody else can, Laura, that kind of stuff. So when you're dealing with that type of person, that's a mentally unsafe, environmentally unsafe, red flag type of person. That's where law enforcement comes in. And then you begin to go and start your life over. It's the same thing with a spouse. You know, have you ever watched those shows where the person is a fatal vow, fatal attraction, and you notice that the person cannot take the fact that you're ready to divorce them over their actions, their antics, their buffoonery, their narcissism, their pathological abuse, their insidious abuse, that's what I'm talking about, that stand. Laura, you won't leave me, Laura. I'll kill you if you leave me, Laura. That type of crap. So by that time, that's when law enforcement has to go into place. Protection orders have to go into place. And that's where you have to still seek therapy, but continue to go and start trying to get your toe back out there in the pond. It doesn't mean you put the whole foot, but you put that toe back down there. But you're just like, okay. You know how you, when the water's too hot, and you're like, and you keep drying until you get your whole toe in there, and then you're like, you know? And so when we're talking about dating like that, you want to be able to psychologically know that you're ready to date. You don't hear any sound? How? Because I have the sound on. Just a moment. I already tested the audio. So I don't understand how you don't hear any sound. So you need to stop lying. Please don't come on here with this BS again. Let me test it. Because I'll do this on a regular basis, and I actually have the sound and whatnot. Let me check it. Because I'll keep this up, and it's really annoying. And if this is Periscope now with the sound issues, then I'll be going to court with Periscope. Tina Lawson is responsible for a lot of the throws and gaslight on Periscope. Can you hear me now? Because the sound's working right on my end. And y'all do this disturbing BS on a regular basis, and I'm fed up with it. Because the narcissist is full of shit that you keep up, and y'all keep making fake accounts and doing this, I guarantee you that it will be lawsuits, and it will be restraining orders, and I will be going to court with Facebook and Twitter and Periscope, and Jack Patrick Dorsey owns Periscope and Twitter, and DevOps better get the sound correct, and I mean it. Can you hear me? So you sat there and lied. So get off my live, please. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and ban you. So I'm sorry for that disturbance. It was somebody on Periscope playing Dead Dead Nart game. Amy's going to get off of there, and she's going to get off of there real fast. It's Amy Lynn, 1818, and they need to take her off of Periscope, and they need to block her for provoking gaslighting. As a matter of fact, give me just one moment, and I'll go ahead and report her. So don't sit up here and tell lies again. Thank you very much, and don't come to my live again. You're not welcome. Here as well. Okay, so y'all have been dealing with this with people who like to provoke the gaslight. Tina Lawson is responsible for all the fake accounts on Periscope, and we'll be going to court with that. So let's get back to what we're talking about. So we're talking about whether you're emotionally ready to move on. So back on track. When we're talking about your ex, and when we're talking about jumping back into dating again, and taking your foot back into the pond. And like I told you, it's like being in hot water, and you're sitting up there having to deal with levels of going back out there, and you're like, let me try. Let me go back out here. Let me try it again. So when we're talking about levels of that, and we're talking about levels of layers of getting yourself back out there, getting yourself warm back up, and trying the best that you can. So when we're talking about levels of where a person can suffer from addiction, if you dated an addict, let's talk about that. If you have a person who has alcohol and drug addiction, I had two exes like that, and both of them are sadistic, severely alcoholic, and drug addicts. And at the end of the day, both of them are miserable, narcissistic people. The drugs and the alcohol have affected how they are as a person. So when I tell you that I at first didn't know that they were on that, I said, okay, I can deal with it, but you get help. There's these two. So when you're dealing with a narcissist, a sociopath, some of them have addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. And then on top of that, prescription pills are other issues. I had an ex who had all three of those issues, and I dumped him. I was together with him off and on 10 years, and I just couldn't deal with it because I'm a professional. I'm a person who's been through having parties,
playing games, having fun, going out there, promoting the club. We've all been young. But there's a point where you go and stop partying, what have you, whatever you do. Okay? So when we're talking about online dating, you got to make sure the person's not an addict. You got to make sure someone's not a drug addict. You want to make sure somebody's not addicted to alcohol. You want to make sure they're not addicted to pills. You want to make sure they don't have layers of addiction and problems. Because the problem with that is if a person has an addiction that's outweighing their responsibility or their core ability to be a decent person, then there's a level and layer of being able to find a way to date again, but date healthily. And someone, if your boundaries are, I don't date drug addicts, I don't date people who are alcoholics, I don't date people who smoke cigarettes, then you make sure that those are your requirements of I'm not dating someone like that. So when we talk about this, even if you're upfront about any type of levels of addiction or alcoholism, that's like in dating, that person should tell you, I'm a drug addict, or I'm an alcoholic, or I do all kinds of different things, or I'm a pill-popping person. And if you're not, like I'm not, then you will tell the person, I don't condone that. I don't want to date somebody like that. I would rather date someone else who has a healthy lifestyle because that's not something consistent to what I do. And that is drink water and drink juice. Other than that, I will not date someone like you. So when we talk about this, even if you're upfront and you're putting the entire relationship, if you have alcohol addiction, pill addiction, or a substance abuse addiction, at the end of the day, nobody wants to date somebody who has an addiction that they can't handle their habits. I'm not judging anybody. I live in a judgment-free zone. I've lived my life. I've went out party. I've went to work club. I went out there. I've been out there in my lifetime. But the thing is, I always have told people there's a point where you put toys away and playing around and goofing off away. So when you think about this in a dating pool, online dating, and levels and layers of getting to know someone, you do not want to date somebody who doesn't have control of their habits for their life. And if they have a habit that's maintainable, like, you know, something that's legal, and they are able to maintain their habits, and that's a different story. You know that you're able to deal with that risk that you're dealing with. But once that habit goes out of control and it's controlling the finances or it's economically affecting the household or your marriage, then you have a problem. And let's do a sound check again to make sure, because the person who sat there and told his lie, I'll be having them reported for their destructive levels of distracting behavior. So we're sitting on Periscope and everybody can hear it but you. So you're the problem. So before you start dating, it's important to deal with a person and deal with what you're willing to deal with and what you're not. So when we talk about these different things, we talk about those different things if you are dealing with an addict or a person who's a pill popper or someone who's on substances and things like that are to the point that they're a schedule C or above. And there are things that become addictive to addictive personality and traits that change and alter their personality or their character traits. So you can't share with them. If you can't share or you struggle with physical or emotional sharing or being able to be vulnerable, those are things that are indicators that you're not ready to date. Here's why. If you're having trouble discussing your feelings, dating is more difficult, and it's difficult for your words and the things that you say because you're always going to think somebody's exploiting or violating you and that nature. So when you think about this, you think about clarifying, evaluating mental issues or mental hangups or things that are happening that are causing you to not be able to fully commit to a dating relationship online or offline or speed dating or blind dating. You have to realize what is your hangup. What is it causing you to get to that point that you do not or feel not ready to date online? So those are indicators whether or not you need to be sitting in my office and say, okay, you know what? CC, you're my life coach, my health coach, my wellness coach, my divorce coach. You are my marital counselor, post-separation and divorce coach, and I really need some help. I'm trying to get back out there and dating, and So when you come in my office and tell me that, and I say, sir, ma'am, why are you scared? What's going on that's causing you a level way of feeling like you can't date? What is making you cannot date, and why can't you not get out there and put your toe out there in the pond and try again? So in that, try to resolve any challenges with your life coach, your wellness coach, your interim gal, while you're seeing your psychologist. Because I can tell you one thing, a bad marriage or two or three bad marriages back-to-back can do years of bad dating. A bad dating experience that's equivalent to a common-law dating or common-law wife dating is the same exact thing equivalent to a bad marriage. You can literally get to a point that you feel like you cannot date again or you're not ready to put your toe out there in the car and you try. So when we think about this, if you have deep, dark secrets or things that you're withholding from dating, I would tell you guys, do not overshare in dating when you're first dating someone. Do not overconfide in someone you just met. If you have deep secrets, it's normal to have deep secrets in a relationship, but when those secrets become detrimental, however, if you have deep secrets that affect you on a serious level or affect the other party that you're dating on a serious level, then the new relationship should wait until you resolve these issues, or you can go and honestly unpack that with someone when you're online dating, offline dating, speed dating, or doing blind dating or matching. Do you have a dangerous secret that you're hiding from the world? If you are dating someone online, offline, and you're thinking about going back out there and dating after you had a situation like this, and this is one of those scenarios, if you're dating a person who has a dangerous, deadly secret or a situation that they refuse to tell you about, for example, if you're involved in a person who's involved in a gang, or somebody who's involved in levels of organized crime, or somebody who's involved in levels of layers of things that could affect you, or if somebody is embezzling money at work or living in fear about your future or causing fear about your future because of their age and their disciplinary overlap into your life, do you think you're ready to get back out there and dating again until you've seen a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist, a life coach, a wellness coach, MD, and then overlapping gaps with a life coach, wellness coach who doesn't diagnose but will be treating you for a subsequent symptom after you've been diagnosed and seen a therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist? So when you're seeing me and you're sitting here, and, you know, some life coaches are MDs and wellness coaches and life coaches, health coaches, divorce coaches, and things like that. So I'll be going to school to become a medical doctor and things like that. So eventually I'll be able to diagnose and treat self-determinant on top of being as a coach and therapist and whatnot. So I'll be doing forensic psychiatry and doing my 5D program here. So I want you guys to know that it's imperative important for your life coach to not diagnose you and sit with a doctor first and you go to me for gaps. So what I won't be doing is diagnosing you for right now until I've gone through my apprenticeship, I've gone through everything to get my credentials and whatnot. But I have my credentials as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, health coach, and things like that. So I want to make sure the schedule is that I'm more qualified, and also I've dealt with it personally. So I'm able to help you guys with specialty of those things that happen when you're dealing with a narcissistic abuse and most of these disorders. I want you guys to understand how imperative and how important it is to be able to deal with these cycles of abuse and be able to get that off your plate and that excess baggage, and certainly talking about earlier, that excess baggage and whatnot, so you can get yourself holistically okay to get out there and dip your toe back out there in the pond without being scared. So a new partner may not be able to handle your dark secret. Think about that. Or their dark secret. So when you're talking about a layer of transparency, I don't mean being over-transparent, but being transparent enough to be able to sit there and have a level and layer of confidence in your dating and your dating ability. So when we're talking about all these different things, let me do another thing set to make sure. Okay. So the person was blind. So please get Amy Lynn _818 and take her off up there. So please and thank you. And I want my mod squad to go ahead and report her for being distracting and disrupting to a live signal. Thank you, mod squad. So before you date again and you go get into examining your personal life, make sure you're examining your personal life and your professional life and everything else not being affected. So when you go out there dating, you don't end up in a situation like that where you have to recover and you have to go through levels and layers of retraining, brain training. Yeah, for them to be able to go and date successfully without thinking, is it going to be like this? Is it going to be like the last month? Is it going to be like the last book back? Is it going to be like the last abuser? So when you think about that, ask yourself, am I ready to date? Am I ready to reexamine things in my life and their life? Am I ready to accept their dark secrets if they reveal something to me? Am I willing to accept those dark secrets? Am I willing to date them and strategically date them, emotionally date them, and then on top of that, be able to break bread with them if we go to a level of a longer relationship path, online dating, and then on top of that, offline dating, speed dating, or matchmaking and things like that. And then think about this. If the person has dark secrets, you have to think about, can they be bringing a person into your world without putting you in danger? Or can they actually literally have this dark secret without affecting your life or affecting your business or affecting your work So when you think about those different things in dating, online dating, you have to ask yourself, am I ready to deal with that? And if you're the person who's on the receiving end of that secret and somebody doing something that grossly, adversely affects your life, you have to ask yourself, am I ready to date yet after I've been through that? Am I able to and not ruminate about the last level of damage? So think about that. Are you ready today? So dating, again, can be a real challenge. And it's important to emotionally and physically be prepared. And if you're not ready to date, avoid allowing your family or friends to force you into dating or online dating or pairing you up with someone until you're ready. Until you're ready to start seeing a new person without ruminating, without any flashbacks, without any level layer of baggage that they have to unpack for you, unless that person's willing to unpack it and you guys are in a serious relationship or you're moving towards marriage. And when you're ready, you'll feel more confident and yourself about dating again as a result. And then you're able to be able to get off to a great start in a new relationship. So let's go back to the dating part. So now we went over why are you ready today or why you're not ready today. And you have to think about kids when you're dating. When you're dating and you have children, you have to make sure and understand, am I ready to date and I have children? This is the other part we need to go into. Because when you're thinking about online dating and you're thinking about, is it possible that I need to get out here and I want to put my toe in the pond out here, but I got children. So if you've been married with children, you're divorcing, and you've got maybe 1 to 2 kids, maybe 5 kids or less, and you're thinking about getting back out there in the pond, and you're sitting up there like, oh, okay, that's fine. So when you're thinking about that, that's how you really feel. So you have to make sure that you're ready to date. You're ready to explicitly introduce children to that person, but in online dating, that makes it complicated. It makes you want to look at the consequences of this person and discovering things about them and the children getting attached. So when you think about online dating, am I ready to date married with children and divorcing with children? You understand what I'm saying? So when you think about this, after you transition from being married with children to divorcing with children and going back to online dating, who are you bringing around your kids? So I want you guys to understand that. And then preparing to date in a relationship is another thing. Preparation is everything. So when you think about this, ask yourself these questions. And I think it's imperative and important to talk about that. Because a lot of people don't think that they should ask themselves these questions until it's too late. And then you sit there and you're thinking to yourself, why did I do that? Why did I not sit there and ask these important questions on myself and preparing myself to be in a relationship? Because when you think about it, children get affected by that. And when you think about, are you making the effort? I want to go over these different things before we get into the nitty-gritty about dating and literally finding someone online. Because it's going to be fairly quick when we go over the online. See, your objective is putting yourself out there, okay? When you think about that, the end of a marriage or a long-term relationship or a divorce, or if you've never been married and you're getting back out there after you've been through something, a level of dating and getting dud after dud and finally get a stud, okay? So when you feel uncomfortable, awkward, or vulnerable, that means there's indicators and signs that you're not ready to date. But if you're not feeling those things, or you went to a therapist, psychiatrist, LSW, MSW, PhD, PA, or something like that, and you took the ARD and things like that, and you went through therapy, you've gone through all that, XYZ, the course and forth, you're thinking about following a breakup. Someone has their own timeline for when they're ready to get back out there. So when we're thinking about dating through self-reflection, we have to think to ourselves to end one relationship before starting another. Or you think about identifying what you have learned from the past. Yeah, think about forgiving and letting go and moving forward. Then you think about admitting if you need help. So when we're talking about these four key components and things like that, you're thinking about ending the relationship before you start another. No matter how your last relationship was, make sure there's adequate closure or protection when you leave that relationship so it doesn't grossly, adversely affect the next person that you're dating. And you're not dating out of desperation or rebound. Then identify what you learned from the past. Think about this before we get to the online dating part. What have you learned from the past? What have you literally learned from the past? When you're thinking about this, it's like having allergies, right? And we're thinking about, like, a poisonous 18-year-old. Think about somebody tampering your 18-year-old and a domestic terrorist antic or environmental antic to aggravate and gaslight and provoke you, right? Think about that dating, that narcissist, that sociopath, and the psychological damage. What lessons did you learn from that? What lessons did you learn about agitator, provoker, gaslighter? And then when we think about this, what do you think about what you've learned from the past? Would you possibly repeat unhelpful little things and patterns if you felt satisfied that you did not work well in a previous relationship or you were incompatible? Or he's a spam. He's like, Laura, I'll kill you. You don't be with me, Laura. Laura, I don't want nobody else with you. A psychological sociopath, failed out, failed attraction, failed at sex person. So when you think about this, does it grow you as a person, or does that partner grow you, or are they hindering you from growth? So when we think about this and your next relationship, grow from your past and get the levels and layers of a lesson. And don't let that lesson bruise you psychologically to the point that you end up having to see a therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist. Nothing wrong with going to see a therapist, psychiatrist, psychologist. And it's more than okay to sit there and see someone, especially if you're not saying get out there, or if you're contemplating getting out there, and you have to see a life coach, a wellness coach, to coach you through the dating process until you've successfully gotten with that person and you realize, okay, they're a safe person, especially if you're doubting your ability to pick them up. Forgiving and letting go. That's another part to this, is letting go of your past mistakes and your past dating mistakes before you go back online or you go out there in the dating world and the dating arena. Because it's just like, hey, Danielle, cut this thing out. You're up there like, oh, my God, I don't know if I'm ready to date again. Then you don't know if you're going to date somebody who's nuts. Then you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know what? You go out there like Rocky Balboa, and you're like, okay, who's next? Who's next? Adrian! Dating again! So once it happens like that, you get to that point that you realize, okay, I'm ready to get back out there. So we got our Rocky Balboa armor sealed. We let go of the past. We've forgiven ourselves for dating on a sociopath or anything that's pathologically toxic, passive aggressive, or cause us to like, pay no attention. So at this point, you admit that you need help. So you come see someone like myself, a life coach, a wellness coach, and things like that, who's certified to tell you, hey, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. Are you ready for this? We'll go do the assessments and things like that that we're talking about right now. And then we tell you what to do and what not to do. And then on top of that, closely watching your social media and being able to think about levels and layers of not thinking of your ex, but getting out there and getting your toe back out there without going, So when you think about all that, you think about the fear of commitment, you think about your intentions and that person's intentions. And then we're talking about levels and layers of making that effort. And then when you're dating and you're talking about Match.com, you're talking about OkCupid.com or eHarmony, people who have actual psychosocial profiles and things like that on there. So you can start beginning to realize if you have the right partner, because they make you go through so much other stuff in order for you to be better matched up and see if that person is actually decent. So you can not run the risk of somebody possibly being a narc and a sociopath. So sometimes they'll offer different things like background checks and things like that for an extra fee. But I would rather pay the extra fee just like don'tdatehim.com, my website, so that you can go and get that background check, the skip trace, the international trace, and sit there and say, okay, he's not married. Okay, he doesn't have a wife in another country. Okay, he's not embezzling money. He's not here abusing me. He's not going to sit there and do this, that, and the other. He doesn't show indicators of being nuts. So there, at this point in time, it's okay for you to be like, okay, great. Let me go swimming. Let me go out there and dog him out there long, out the day to move. Okay. So when you think about this, you're talking about your kids on top of that. So when you get out there dog paddling, you're like, okay, he's on it. Next, okay, I like him. Next, okay, I like him. Next, oh, okay. Let me go see if I can check this guy out. So at this point, do your due diligence. Now you understand why I said, are you ready today? So let's go back to the importance of levels of dating and being able to understand this from the perspective of online dating. So now we're in the good stuff. So when we think about online dating from this perspective, enjoying dating just for, not just for sex, and then getting out of the house, taking a break, getting to know yourself better, getting to know somebody else better, networking, avoiding certain types of individuals, or avoiding certain types that you will end up running into the dating pool if you're not careful. The different tips of not taking dating too seriously in the beginning, this basically means you should be doing your dates more. And, you know, aside from that, you should be able to date or be able to have an idea of what you could offer and the opportunity of dating someone online, offline, or, you know, speed dating, matchmaking, or blind dating. But you have to make sure that you meet new people and be able to socialize and be able to, moreover, offer a potential of a good mate, possible life partner, or possible good marriage that might result in online dating, as so long as the person is emotionally good, healthy, mentally healthy, psychologically healthy, and is not suffering from severe mental health issues or severe levels of PTSD and trauma from dealing with somebody who's been a bad, dangerous situation or experience. So I wanted to go over the other bad stuff first before we got into the nitty-gritty good stuff. I'll tell you guys, when you're going online dating, don't date out of desperation. If you have never had a date that's good, then don't date out of desperation and don't just date any old body. Be picky with yourself on online dating. Because if you're desperate to have a relationship, it can lead to being with someone who you want to change for the better and in the future. So therefore, if you have to date somebody to the point that you're accepting things that are boundary crossing, or there are levels and layers of that you don't want to date, or you're going to say, oh, I'm accepting right now, I'll change some layers, you don't need to date them. So when you think about the potential of finding someone who you could build a relationship with, you need to already have an idea on the first, second, third, fourth, up to the tenth thing, that they are the person that you want to continue to build a relationship past just casual dating and whatnot. And then on top of that, again, don't date out of desperation, because when you may end up with someone who will make you more insecure or make you feel insecure when you were confident before dating, or a person who will work on you, him on you, and after a while you'll realize you're accepting a trash bag jerk that you should date. Not date, but jump. So when you think about this, don't date other people to make someone jealous. Think about this when you're online dating. That's why I told you guys about closure. Make sure you're not dating too fast and you're not doing rebound. Because when you're thinking about dating another person, it makes another person jealous about it, especially someone who is at a scam level and won't let you go. And then on top of that, it can become dangerous and detrimental in your online dating too. Because you don't know if that's a person somebody else knows, and they might be setting you up to date someone that they know. But when you're thinking about this, and we're thinking about levels of narcissistic foolery and provoking gaslighting, and you might need a psychological hair test for that person, then you definitely don't need to date them. So that's why I recommend OkCupid, eHarmony, and things like that for dating websites and things like that. Or if you're talking about Christian Mingle, or you're talking about, you know, it's another one like that that's out there where they actually do a lot of different involved levels of depth of investigative work to sit there and say, hey, yeah, they are dating. So that takes all the guesswork in dating someone and figuring out playing Russian roulette on websites and social media. So when we think about this, try this caution on multiple dates. Here's why. Both of you who are serial daters are in love with the idea of love. Or in love with the idea of dating. Who are in love with the idea of actually subsequently dating multiple people on dating websites and dating across multiple websites is not a good idea. Yeah, I said it. Because when you think about the multiple dating, when you're dating a number of men or women, and you might end up stressing yourself out doing that, you'll have multiple texts, you'll have multiple send outs, and you might text the wrong person the wrong thing. That's one of the reasons. And then when you're thinking about this, you're not doing anyone a favor. You're doing them an actionist because you're not getting them at all. So when you think about this, you might end up showing the other person that you don't really like them or you're playing with them. So when you think about that, the chances are you might suggest that you're really enjoying yourself with somebody else's company and then that person loses interest. So when you think about that, practice caution on multiple days, and then you think about the stresses that come from it, it may become a level of, if you're not organizing your multiple dating on multiple websites and multiple online dating, then guess what? You'll get caught up, and the friends level of, oh, crap, this is not going to work out well. Oh, crap, I'm dating multiple people. I'm getting caught up in dating multiple men. I'm able to guy, multiple women, or if you're gay, multiple men, and if you're lesbian, multiple women. So it's not mutually exclusive to any sex. That's why I try to make sure that I'm doing everything to make sure that when we talk about dating, we're talking about all walks of life, LGBTQIA, LGBTQIQ, and then on top of the heterosexual community as well. So it's stressful when you're not always worrying about sending the wrong text message or email to the wrong person. Anything can happen. And then somebody's like, what to do? Hold up. Who are you talking to? Wait a minute. Who's the text message for? So we haven't talked about that. So that's why you do not date multiple people on multiple websites. I would recommend being yourself. If you be yourself on a dating, can go a long way. Because you don't have to spend your time maintaining an image that is not maintainable in no way, shape, or form. So especially if you're on a quest of finding a person to have a healthy relationship with, this is because you won't be able to do anything on your date other than be yourself, and you don't have to remember a lie you told. Yes, I Here's why. There are people who pathologically lie on their dating app and dating application to profile. And so this is why I said about getting background checks and being really good. Because a person can tell you, oh, this and this and that and the other third. Then you find out they're a bum. You find out they're a whole classic first, second, third military bum. Or non-military bum or gray agent. So by the time you find this out, your attachment is grown with them and it's hard to get them. So this is because you won't be hiding anything on your date. And then you're assured that he or she will be accepting of you just the way you are, whether you have money or you don't have money. And they'll like you because of you. They'll totally be into you because of who you present, not who you post to be. So I want you guys to understand that. Then don't date to play games. If you're going to go online and date in the dating pool, know which dating websites are a whole meat market. Know which websites are not recommended for serious dating. Because if you're talking about Tinder, if you're talking about Plenty of Fish, we all know it's a meat market. You know, if you want to bump uglies with somebody in one night and just have a one-night set or one-night anniversary, you can tell them, lock my door before you go, that type of situation. So in that instance, don't date to play games. Tell the person up front that, hey, I'm dating Smash. I'm not dating to marry. I'm not looking for my wife. I'm looking for a one-night anniversary, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So if you put that on your profile up front, your fun dating are going to be a level of fun pitching for people who are looking for the exact same thing. A hit and miss, a smash and pass, F them and dump them. So when you think about this, dating can involve emotions for people, okay? So when we're thinking about this, people who are included in that level of dating scenario, online dating, offline dating, and dating to go and dating to have a relationship, dating to sleep with someone, or dating to marry, or dating to have a what we call companionship, or dating to actually move into something that can become companionship to moving into life partnership or marital. So when you're talking about this, if you're dating to date someone just to play games, then date somebody who wants to play games right along with you, like that's okay. So if you're thinking about this, playing with people's emotions is not healthy. Then you think about it's not a good idea. And then the person seeing you're dating them as something serious and you sat there and talked out of both sides of your neck, you're going to end up with arguments, you're going to end up with animosity and hostility. So when you think about it, let that person know exactly where you stand. And just like other people do not want to get hurt, then don't go into the business of playing games online dating or in the online dating arena or the online dating pool and you're like, and then the person gets burned. So they're like, so when you think about this, if you're having to lend money on the date, why not go Dutch in the beginning? If you're having a first date and things like that, try go Dutch just in case the date goes bad and you realize, or unless you're offering to take up this now on date, and you put aside money to be able to go on that date and have a good time. So when you think about that, if you have to lend money to your date or you're already in a relationship and your money's tied up with the decision of the other, maybe you shouldn't be online dating. Maybe you should wait till you're out of that relationship. So that's why I went over this tip. If you're online, ready to go back out there with matching up with someone or meeting someone offline, speed dating, or, you know, like a blind date and things like that. So enjoying dating is not just for sex. There is more to dating life than just online meetup, smash and pass. Don't get me wrong. Some of us have had our nights of being what we call epically getting fluid out and getting flued out next. Meaning you get with somebody, you know you're just going to smash them, one night anniversary, lock my door for you, you're good at peace. We know that that happens. But if you're going to go and go out to date to have something of substance, enjoy dating, not just with sex. Because when you're enjoying the sexual interaction, it's going to affect your decision making and making sure you got the right person in your dating. So that's why you don't want to have negative results by smashing them too early in the dating, online dating arena. So if you're meeting someone who's pushing an issue about having sex too early, then don't date them again. Just say, you know what, it was nice to date you tonight, but I'm not going to date you again because I don't want to smash you this early, and you're pressing the issue that's making me uncomfortable. Dating to get out of the house and having common values. That's another, if you don't have the same common values in dating someone, then you need not date them again or try to date them, or if you're thinking you're looking for a smash or pass one night on their profile, then just don't date them again because you're going to realize you're going to end up in the dirt. You're in pain. You know what? You're a man whore and I don't want you. No. So we think about getting out of the house. This dating community is getting out of the house to network. But you have to think about, you got to get out of the house to go and find your first date. You've got to, at least if you're on an online date, get out of the house. I've enjoyed meeting this person. But you want to make sure you're not catfishing a person with pictures that are 15, 20 years old or 5 years old or 3 years old. Make sure they accurately see who they're dating so they'll end up like they did on Friday, or the guy Chris Rock, what was it? Chris, I forgot his name. The guy who did that. He played smoking. Yeah, that guy. So the guy who played smoking, he goes on his blind date and he sets him up with a girl. He doesn't like big women. Some men do. He just happens to not like a big girl. So he thought he was getting somebody that looked like, you know, a slender body, a 35, 26, 36, you know, same perfect by size and stuff like that. So when we're talking about type of guy, and he's not looking for somebody who's big bones or larger plus size, he shouldn't have said that on the profile, except for he thought he was getting somebody because she put a picture and she catfished him. So understand that the level of getting out the house and dating does not mean you set up for failure on an online date. So when we're talking about this, you want to make sure that personality is first and foremost. But if the person is going to catfish you, that's not giving you fair right to refuse and say, I don't want to date you. And I'm going to tell this to my plus-size people. I am a chunky girl. I used to be super plus-size. There's nothing wrong with plus-size dating because I dated not full of plenty men, and I had no problem getting them in. So when it comes down to your size, size doesn't matter. But for some people, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some people like the perfect cola bottle type of person. Some men like them thick and men snicker. So when you're talking about levels of dating, online dating, be honest and be upfront. Also, take a break sometimes. Sometimes 3 to 6 months of not dating someone gives you time to cool off. Because if you take a break from dating, it can be a good idea, especially if it's making you more miserable to date and making you more upset to online date and you keep on getting done. So when we talk about this level of doing that, it'll guide you to choose better dates because you'll do some introspective work, the things that I did. Unfortunately, I took 4 years to do that, and I wanted to make sure that I was ready to date again. Because I wanted to release some of my expectations and the high walls that I had. So that when I go back out there dating, that I'll be able to get back out the dating ring and be like, oh, okay. I can get in there, slide in there, dog down a little bit, and be like, oh, okay, I can date again. It's okay, it's fine. I don't think about my exes, and I don't ruminate. And then on top of the access protection, the legal protections I put in place, and the restraining orders I put in place, so that I can date peacefully, and it doesn't wreck my dating life with the next guy. So avoiding negative individuals. You guys, this is the part where you have to have the abundance mindset, not the scarcity mindset, and be afraid to say no. You have to practice the art of saying no when you're online dating. You have to practice the art of not having a scarcity mindset. There are 7 billion people on the earth, if not more, or 2. So if that means you got 1 in 7 chance, it means you got 7 chance to 1 person to meet your soulmate. So it means you got 7 chances to meet your soulmate to 1 person. That means your probability is pretty high to meet someone who's your life mate, your person, your dreaming, your next thing. So when you're thinking about this, avoid negative individuals. When you're going on a date and you're realizing the guy's a fit and he's a jerk, then you think, oh, you know what? I'm going to take the workout and you just get out on a date. You're like, look, let's just end this day. Let's just go to the top and somebody's better. And you get to see it. At that point, a few times it's hard to say no. So when you think about that, enjoy your day, and you should be able to surround yourself with positive individuals. And then on top of that, so that you can be upfront and frank with someone and say, hey, you know what? You and I are not compatible, sir. I'm not compatible to how you think, and you're negative thinking is what you have. I don't like your negative Nancy, negative Mark, negative Charlie, whatever you want to call it, negative Patrick, Antics, and the book. So therefore, this date is over. I don't think it's going to work out well. I just think that we're just not compatible. Your way of thinking and my way of thinking is not aligned, and you're not conducive to me. So when we talk about compatibility, we're talking about keeping your eye on the side. So we think about engaging in phone or online sex. This marriage, I swear to God, on online dating, is the first thing they ask you to do is online sex and levels of phone sex and things like that, then they might be a first. Until you've been dating someone for quite a bit and you've gotten to the point that you've dated them and you know who they are and you guys don't mind texting each other cute little stuff or saying some little cute little things without going too far, because in online dating, the possibility of dating someone who will use online text or text that you send to them against you and unlawfully, illegally uploading them online is high. There are a lot of people who are narcissistic or what we call toxic or passive-aggressive and will do passive-aggressive things. And like you've seen it in the news where celebrities have had it done in dating and where non-celebrities have had it done in dating. So it's not mutually exclusive whether you're famous or not. You date a jerk and you date a douchebag, then guess what? That douchebag will be douchebaggery, whether he's dating a celebrity, whether he's dating a civilian, or somebody else. So at the end of the day, when we're talking about levels of online dating, online engagement, of online texting, or exchanging of nudes and things like that, make sure you're not exchanging nudes with a perv. So engaging in online sex is not a good idea. This is because you cannot expect anything from it. And if you break up, what do you expect from that person? Will they leak your text? Will they leak your nudes? Will they leak things? Or will they sit there and threaten to do that as collateral so you won't tell them about how they are, or you won't tell the truth about their reputation or their dating history? It happens to me. So I want you guys to understand it. Because there are people who do these things, and they often involve with writing while they're away. They'll sit there and play games. They'll sit there and leak things. Or they'll unalter and take pictures of me for collateral. It was done to me and threatened to me by my ex. And he did that. He did it to all his wife. He did it to all his girlfriends. And he said, I did it for collateral. So when you're thinking about all these types of things, you have to be careful. When you tell somebody no, no stop and don't means no stop and don't. That includes unauthorized pictures or when you're having sex pictures and things like that. So we're going to talk about acknowledging the presence of deviant behavior as we talked about in the last slide. If you have lots of failed relationships, take a freaking flipping break. Take a break. It is okay to take a break and realize that you need to wake up, need you get to give introspect and a level of preventing yourself from being the same type. So when you think about the early stages of relationships, everything's all good, but we're not thinking about how the relationship is when it's not good and what the potential is of that person. Do you know their personality type? Do you know exactly how they're going to act when they're mad? Do you know if they're going to do significant things or toy with you, taunt you, provoke you, gaslight you, and abuse you? Then you think about the criticism of dating. When you think about controlling your drink, not getting slithered, and getting your white girl wasted, black girl wasted, or black boy wasted, or white boy wasted on your first date. The first impression is lasting impression, so control your drinking. If somebody's out of your league. This is another thing in dating that I found that it's hard to deal with. If the person is wealthy or connected, date within your financial range. Here's why. You do not want to be seen as a gold digger if you're a woman. And if you're a man, you don't also want to do the gold digging either. Because there are gold digging men and there are gold digging women out there. I'm not one of them. I could care less if you're a billionaire, millionaire, thousandaire, or $2. I don't care. But when you're dating in a certain range and bracket, a man who is at this level shouldn't really be trying to date a woman of that level unless she thinks, I'll date you, and I'll accept that you don't make this type of money. I don't expect you to compete. I don't expect you to live up to these expectations that I don't have. Here's the other caveat. Is it going to affect your self-worth if you're dating someone out of your league, male or female? If you're dating someone out of your league, you're going to go and have these psychological thoughts and psychological contracts and what's good enough. For a certain individual or a certain bracket type. So when you think about that, you may end up with someone who's also not good enough or simply another person who thinks the way you do. So hopefully, if you're going to date outside your bracket, tax bracket is what I mean, and people need to understand what I mean. If you're dating someone and you make $35,000, $40,000 a year, and you're dating someone who makes $100,000 a year, y'all are kind of not. But if you're making somewhere around $12,000 a year, $11,000 a year, and you're dating somebody who makes $50,000, $100,000 a year, y'all are not in the same tax bracket. Therefore, you may deal with a self-worth issue, a self-esteem issue, and you'll find yourself self-sabotaging the relationship, or it might be vice versa the other way around. When the person's friends get around and say, oh, well, they're dating you, and, well, they're not in our tax bracket. You know, those things that you hear. So when you think about that, that is also an indicator, a warning, for your friends are telling you, hey, so-and-so is not in the same tax bracket, and not in the same echelon, not in the same group and whatnot of dating. So why are you dating this person? Are you dating them because you really like them? And then that friend will start to ask questions. They're going to ask, okay, are y'all equally yoked on other things other than finance? Does that person have intent to date you not because of money? Are they dating you because they like you? It's kind of like the guy that told you he was a billionaire. I met him, and he's nice. I don't give a damn if he's a billionaire. I don't care. It's the fact that if I like you, I like you. I met a guy who was like what they call in the six figures bracket, not eight figures. I like him. I really liked him, but I didn't care about his tax bracket because I was lower in his tax bracket. But I liked him because of who he was. And I met this guy. We met online. And, you know, we dated and talked. We didn't have sex for 6 months. He waited. So when I tell you I liked him, not because of his job and not because of his career bracket and his tax bracket, I really liked this guy. He was black, and he just was really nice. So when I tell you that, I was like, okay, so much of me got $1,000 a year. What does that matter? I just like you. You make me laugh. He realized I liked him for him. So when you got the other caveat, is when a girl is like, oh, great, he makes $100,000 a year. Oh, I'm going to get him. That's what I mean by dating outside your tax bracket and having a gold digger versus a gold digger. A gold digger is a woman who wants money from a man, but a gold digger is someone that goes for himself, and her worth and self-worth is not measured on dating your wallet. You understand the difference? And then, last but not least, determine what you really want out of dating. Because whether somebody's in your tax bracket or not does not determine their love for you. But time becomes more confident and more self-worth gets developed in a relationship, you begin to realize the relationship is not around finances. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with chemistry, organic, levels of life, care, and want to be around that person whether they have the money or not. Because money is like that song, when the money goes with the honey stays. So would you ride with me on a bus? You know, it's kind of like 21 questions. And when I was able to answer 21 questions about the guys that I told you made that money and things like that, I was able to say if he lost that job, if he lost that money, I would still date him. I would still date him if he had $2 to his name. So you know that you like somebody because you like them, not because of their wallet and their tax bracket. And the same thing with billionaires and things like that. So when you're dating a guy who may be up there in that wealthy tax bracket of 8 figures and things like that, we're talking about you don't want to count this man's paycheck, but you don't want to be intimidated by him, but you don't want to date him because he's a billionaire or it's that status. So that's what I meant by tax bracket and understanding dating within your tax bracket. And if you happen to meet somebody who's rich, well, they tell you that and you find out, you're just like, oh, I'm at this level, you're at this level. You sure you want to date me? You got to make sure you're dating that person the right way. So last but not least, smiling on your date, your posture means everything. Saving, being conscientious of your voice, and then on top of how you smell, and then on top of that, avoiding taboo subjects, making sure the right topics for conversation so you can spark a level of getting to know each other and having breakthroughs and getting to know each other and focus on each other and your chemistry and things that you can be able to not have an argument over. And it encourages a relaxing environment. Avoiding a bad mood. If you have a bad day before your date, then get for your date. Oh, can I take a recess and we'll go on another day when I'm in a better mood? Because it can be your worst nightmare on a date from the worst impression and the real last impression. And you don't want to get the online reputation on online dating or a level of, you know, speed dating or matchups and things like that. That you don't want to get the online reputation of a shoot on a date. You get what I'm saying? You don't want to be a deliverer from Eva on a date. What do you think about this? Master getting to know your date today. Please, thank you. And then on top of that, staying fit, staying hygienical, and making sure you smell good, look good, and being serious about your future and how you're going to go along in the dating arena. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this. I want you guys to be able to book your appointments at IMCC Coaching, DonDeeTheCoaching.com. teamworld.online, imcc.com for specialty appointments. You can catch that for the seminar at $IMCC Coaching, Don Diva Coaching, and then Team World or Talk Radio Diva. And you can do it monthly on talkradiodiva.com. Put it to what business is for, and it's for business growth and whatnot. So we can expand and continue to bring you great content. And then on top of that, 833-IMCC is the number to call to book your appointment, to ask questions, inquiry. I'll return your phone call, 833-4-MY-APPOINTMENT for Don Diva Coaching, and 833-BOOK-ME-TOO for teamworld.online for children, adults, and young adults. So tomorrow we're going to talk about kids and dating and teenagers and online dating. That will be fun. So thank you guys for bearing with me with the live and whatnot, and I'm still having issues with Facebook, and I hate it. It's just unacceptable. I was racist multiple times. But needless to say, this is a good life. Thank you so much for attending it. And for those of you who have been on all the whole entire time and watching, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And again, make sure you donate to your Cash App, Dollar Sign INCC Coaching, Dollar Sign Don Diva Coaching, Dollar Sign Team World Online, Dollar Sign Talk Radio Diva. And if you want to support everyone and whatnot for expanding and our growth and our commercials and things like that that we're getting ready to do, I want to make sure that you guys do that and help us grow. And then you guys be a part of the Talk Radio team. So 833-INCC, 833 for my appointment, Don Diva Coaching, 833 book me too for Team World Online, the show, Alice is going to go. Book your appointments at INCCCoaching.com for general appointments, Don Diva Coaching for general appointments for civilians, and Team World.online for children, Alice is going to go. And for get up and do something that let the world pass you by, and INCC for your specialty appointment. So thank you, everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my night. And I want to make sure that I stay home contaminated. Thank you so much. Good night.